welcome back to the broadcast on this 30th day of September, the last day of September. Remember, we moved to WWRB 11920 on shortwave Monday, 11920. Here we see Eric from the Communist Party of Iraq. 1,200 Iraqis signed memorandum calling for a democratic constitution. It's the Iraqi Committee for Democratic Constitution. And here we see in the news, or actually in Popular Mechanics, the August edition, street sweeping crews. They use arms patrol, rooftop support, breaking and entering and aerial assets in Iraq to impose democracy in Iraq. And this is quite revealing. They don't have any assets to fight us except with, quote unquote, the insurgents. And what are we doing over there? And as you said before, this is a strategic move, correct?
Yeah, it's to grab. I mean, even Rommel understood this, as did the U.S. and the Brits. If you cut off the supply lines, fuel, water, food, you cut off the head.
Common sense.
That's what they did to Rommel in Africa. And why they're doing this is to seize control of the oil and fuel resources worldwide, so that they can also then pin in and even instigate, because a lot of this is being run by Rothschilds and the World Banks and stuff.
Correct.
It's all for profit-taking and privateering and war profiteering. They're setting us up for war with China.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's a Cold War like what happened to the USSR or a hot war or whatever, you got to remember that these guys want to euthanize 5/6 of the population and bring it back to some, you know, I can't even describe what these guys are imagining or how they can think like this or whatever.
Okay, now think if you were communist China, and if this is the case, and we have a gigantic deficit, a trade deficit with them, and wouldn't you be wanting to pre-deploy assets in America if you're going to do it in hack?
They're already here. I've seen them myself. I've actually been at the Seal Beach Ammo Weapons Depot in California, and I've seen, and trust me, I've been to China, I've been to Hong Kong, I've been all over the world as a federal officer and stuff, and I've seen physically myself, and I've tried to report it, and I can't even tell you what I went through trying to report it, a Chinese national kneeling with a video camera, and there was nothing there that was scenic. There was no other reason for him to be taking these videos of the naval combatants coming in for rearmament. And I actually followed the guy, got his plate number, tried to report it, called 911, et cetera, et cetera. And I got so bounced around that you would not believe. But it was very clear because there was nothing there that he could be taking a picture of. There was like a little overflow channel with a bunch of rocks. There's a little bridge. There was no perfect sunset. There was no, grassy knoll to take a shot of or anything else. Sorry, I had to throw that in there.
Mm-hmm.
The grassy knoll.
Mm-hmm.
It was clearly he was shooting across the flood control channel at the ship and how they were doing the whole, rearmament and stuff.
So he's acquiring intelligence for the communist
exactly.
China. We'll be back to continue here. Stay with us and stay here, Eric, and we'll get to a conclusion, if you like, as we need to connect these dots, listeners. It's very vital at this point in time. Stay with us. We'll be back. Welcome back to the broadcast. Here I see, Eric, fire still out of control. Most homes spared so far from the L.A. Times. Hundreds evacuate as California fire threatens. Hundreds flee wildfire in Los Angeles. One from the AFP, another one from the AP. So we have three sources here. And yet anyone can go on our website, AmericanExpose.com, go to the Global Fire Monitoring Center, and you can research the fire in Los Angeles. And it will come up. You'll see it. You'll see exactly what's happening with the fires in Los Angeles area. And why would they want to be monitoring all the fires in the world? That's the UN system, Eric. That's the question I ask you.
why they're monitoring the fires and stuff?
Well, the Global Fire Monitoring Center monitors all fires in the world.
Right.
And what would be the purpose of the UN monitoring all the fires in the world?
It's not a bad idea if you think about it from a scientific point of view, saying, hey, we need to know what's going on around the world, things that increase the temperature, global warming, yada, yada, yada. But, you know, if these people were benevolent and were really out to advance mankind and move into the future and even get off this planet and explore space and even bring back natural resources or, you know, colonize, quote unquote, and I hate to use that word, but other planets, hey, great, then fine. And that would be coming from those who believe in a free society and access. You cannot even get into the court system now. They're privatizing the entire court system, even bankruptcy, to where it's all pay to play. And at some point, that means only people with money, only those who have worshipped money rather than, you know, God or have Christian principles, have access to our system. Those who do not worship money are those who are to be euthanized. And we step back not 100 years to what went on in our own country with the Wobblies and, you know, labor movement and the Molly Maguires and Knights of Columbus and, you know, the IRA and Ireland and stuff and everything else that's gone on. We're actually stepping back 2,000 years, you know, to a time of empire where Napoleonic law is the rule of the day, to where you're guilty until proven, in, until you prove your own innocence, which is, you know, basically how Mexico is. And we're being turned into not some kind of a hybrid, you know, a democratic republic. We're being turned into a banana republic, third world country,
yeah,
right in front of our eyes.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they're attacking. This is literally all-out class warfare by the rich. And if you think about it, warfare is reverse socialism for the rich because, you know, these huge social benefits programs for Halliburton and everybody else to where they're not even providing the services that they're contracted for is nothing but highway robbery, you know, administrative piracy. And the only way we're going to be able to take back our country is to hold each and all of these congressmen and senators accountable, like the 75 that voted for Roberts, and remove them from office ASAP.
Yep.
And do like what's going on with Ronnie Earl going after, and hopefully he'll be able to do something about it with Tom DeLay. And even Frist is having problems now, too. But the only way we're going to restore our sovereignty, not only as a nation but individual people, is to get these people out of office, remove the corporate, you know, corporate state from our government. You know, they're supposed mm-hmm. to be at some degree in opposition because the government's supposed to be regulating. Anything that any company or corporation that employs more than 50 people is supposed to be highly regulated, not just because it's getting to the point of so many employees and affecting so many lives, but when that company picks up and outsources and moves overseas or starts producing things like PCBs, like, you know, General Electric putting the transformers out and dumping them in lakes, rivers, and oceans, it affects so many more lives than even those 50 or several hundred or several thousand employees. It has rippling effects to the economy, and that's why they are supposed to be monitored and regulated. But now all the regulators, FAA, FCC, you know, the whole list, they're married to and actually helping the corporations. If you look at Clear Channel, they own 1,200 stations, Fox, you know, Rupert Murdoch, all this other stuff, media
yeah.
control with it, NBC, CBS. It's absolutely insane. And the only way it's going to be stopped is by the people waking up and acting upon it today. Not tomorrow, today.
Yep. Well stated, Eric.
Peace.
Appreciate your participation.
Thanks for the time.
Thank you very
Thanks.
Much. I do appreciate it. This is the system in place that he describes. That's why it's so vital to support this network and any other network that's doing the correct job, which you can count on the fingers of one hand, listeners. That's the problem. We're not here but to try and help restore a constitutional republic that we've never lived under. An increase of numbers is vital. Vital at this point in time, and support of this network is vital. So you have phone numbers, you have directions to support the network. It's here for you. The pledge line to pledge your support to the network, if nothing else, 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719. Republic Trading. Tell them Chris sent you. Republic Trading, 800-724-2719. 800-691-7898. That's Republic Trading, 800-691-7898. The Republic Trading Post is there for you. And rbnlive.com, free internet access to archives of shows. That's to increase our numbers. Most networks charge, and some have to charge, but this network does not, which means you have to support the network in any way you can, including the Berkey Light at 877-605-9200. Tell them Chris sent you with whatever you do. If you appreciate this broadcast, if you like what you're hearing, and if you're understanding of the big picture in place. And what is the big picture in place right now? The agenda for the 21st century. And this is my research, listeners. I've come to this conclusion. Darren's come to his own conclusion. Dennis has come to his own conclusion. Sam has come to his own conclusion. Trish has come to her own conclusion. Many people have come to their own conclusion about this Agenda 21 and where it's going and what it's doing. So this is where it is right now. Every country has an Agenda 21, including Iraq and the Communist Party of Iraq. Every country, including Taiwan, that is not a member of the United Nations, has Agenda 21. Go figure that one, listeners. Jeff in New Mexico, welcome to the broadcast.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, you mentioned Free China.
I mentioned Taiwan, which is Free China, or was Free China, yes.
Well, to me, to teach these other countries a lesson, I'd be more for kicking all Chinese students out of the United States and students of any other nation that doesn't allow non-government people to have guns than have to go over there risking my life meddling in Chinese affairs.
Well, it's way late. I mean, we have a problem now. This should have been taken care of back in 1950.
The Chinese students being here, you mean? Or?
No, the Chinese students weren't here in 1950. The communist China was in place, and we should have stopped it. We should have taken back Free China and kicked communism back to the Soviet Union.
See, well, I guess I disagree. I'm more of an isolationist. I
understand your point of being an isolationist, but we're not the isolationist country. We're the meddling country since the inception of the Federal Reserve System. And it's the Federal Reserve System, the cartel of bankers that have been financing all these wars and the spread of communism since the inception of the Federal Reserve in the 20th century.
Okay, well, you've probably heard of this Aaron Zellman. He's the head of the Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership.
Yes.
And Alex Jones had a rerun of him, and I think he's good. But why?
Aaron Zellman's good, yes.
Why are we afraid to have something like pagans and Odinists of European ancestry for the preservation of firearms? Why do we have to hide behind the Jews as if they're the only ones that would use the gun?
I don't see why we're hiding behind the Jews. That's just Aaron Zellman in his direction. We're not hiding behind them.
And in a way, I felt like that's what Alex Jones kind of hides behind him because...
I don't want to hear about that, okay? That's his deal, and I don't like or dislike, or I don't have any way of knowing him and what he does because I don't pay attention to him. But, you know, leave it alone. And just leave it alone, Jeff, at this point. The Zionist Organization of America is here. Zionism is here. Is it good or bad? Absolutely. It's bad. And where is it going? Where are we going? And what are we but a closet communist country at this point in time? And yes, the flooding of students from other countries, including communist countries, is going on. And should we kick them out? Well... that's a very difficult question to answer right now.
What are the rights of ordinary Mexicans that aren't in the government? Can they have guns down there?
No, they can't have firearms in Mexico. And have a traffic accident in Mexico and see what happens. They take you both off to jail and deal with you later. Mexico is a totalitarian country. But yet, we're all in this UN global neighborhood. And that's why the border problem exists and continues. When they have Border 21 under the UN guise and the UN system, you know, it's the UN system that we've got to go after at this stage. This is what it is. These human rights treaties, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, my goodness gracious, this has been going on for 50 years. The anniversary of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights was December 10th, 1998. And Clinton signed Executive Order 13107, which is implementation of human rights treaties, which is exactly what's going on right now. So this is where you have to focus your attention, is the UN system and the State Department. They do it. And this is where we need to put Congress to the pedal of the situation that we're dealing with today. And, Jeff, thanks for your call. We'll move on and take more of these phone calls. Stay with us. Listeners, you get that on occasion when you have situations that come around that warrant it happening. Aaron Zellman, the Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership, is a good man, and he has very important directions, and he needs to be supported, listeners. Anyone that's fighting for your rights to own firearms has to be supported, people, has to be supported. We're going to move up to Dr. Ward Dean. We're going to jump up with him because he has serious problems and he has valuable time that he does not need to waste hanging on the phone. Dr. Dean, welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, Chris. Good to be with you again.
Thank you. Nice to have you with us.
Right. Well, I just wanted to call in and bring you up to date with what's going on with me and the IRS. And the reason I haven't been calling was they've been keeping me very busy.
Yes.
And also because I wasn't too sure what was going to happen myself.
Yes. I've been very concerned about you as well.
Okay. Well, let me bring you up to date. As you know, I was arrested back on the 17th of March at gunpoint with a multi-jurisdictional task force that basically ambushed me on my way home from a voluntary appearance before the local grand jury here in Pensacola. And the trial was originally set for the 26th of May, and we've had successive continuances. At one time, I did have an attorney, and the trial was set for the 5th of July, but about 2 weeks prior to the trial, my attorney, ironically, who was in the Army Reserve, received orders calling him to active duty. And he was given 3.5 weeks to pack his bags, move his family, and report for duty.
Hmm.
Now, of course, I'm the conspiratorial nut, but he's the one that suggested that I was the reason that he got called to active duty. Hmm. So I was back to looking for an attorney.
Okay.
The latest was that despite my best efforts, I still haven't found an attorney, and the judge has ordered me to trial to go pro se, which I objected to, and then, in fact, filed an interlocutory appeal with the 11th Circuit. In the meantime, the judge then changed, postponed the trial, and so we now have what's called a Feretta hearing to be scheduled on Monday, the 3rd of October at 10 o'clock at the federal courthouse here in Pensacola. So I'd like to urge all of the listeners of 103.7 here in Pensacola, if you can make it, to come on down to the courthouse. That'll be at 10 o'clock on Monday, the 3rd of October, in courtroom 4 South. That's Judge Collier's courtroom for what is scheduled to be a Feretta hearing, but which I think will probably be a status hearing and probably an ass-chewing by the judge.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to get the maximum turnout there and hopefully can pack that courtroom.
Yeah, very important. Now, is there a way for people to get on board with that that you can recommend?
Well, the main thing is to come on down to the courtroom. There should be a lot of kindred spirits down there. And, you know, tyranny thrives in secrecy, and these judges really like to do things in the dark without publicity. So just dress appropriately for court. Bring a notebook and a pen. That really and be prepared to take some notes because they really don't like people sitting in courtrooms taking notes.
Okay. Now, do you have any specific address for them?
Right. Well, most people in Pensacola know we're not. This isn't that big, but it's basically at the corner of Palafox and Garden Street downtown. It's at the new federal courthouse. And again, that'll be 10 a.m. Monday, the 3rd of October, for what is scheduled to be a Feretta hearing. But I'm not sure what kind of hearing it is. I have a hunch that the judge will probably find that I'm incompetent to defend myself, assign a public defender, and then possibly reschedule the trial for sometime in November.
And
it's a trial on six counts of tax evasion and one count of corruptly interfering with the IRS and the ability to collect tax. And that was because I wrote my banks a letter and told them that they didn't have to comply with a summons that was sent out by an IRS revenue agent because he had no authority to send the summons out. And the IRS summonses basically have no legal force and effect, and they require court orders. And so by telling these banks the truth, and in fact, there was a recent decision by the Second Circuit Court of Appeals that basically said the same thing my letter said, that they added another charge.
And aren't we dealing with legal fictions here?
Absolutely. And, of course, the thing that I keep asking, and I've been asking for over 15 years, is to show me the law that makes me liable for the tax, and I'll pay. In fact, I've had meetings with the IRS agents where I've sat down, handed them a code book, pulled out my checkbook, and asked them to show me the code section that makes me liable for the tax, and I would write them a check for every nickel that they said that I owed. And
In every case,
they couldn't do it.
Let's bring you back and wrap it up and get this direction in place for people to visit you down there at the courthouse. Stay with us, listeners. And welcome back to the broadcast. Dr. Ward Dean's with us here. And real briefly, the IRS is, well, the revenues for the IMF, listeners, and pursuant to Treasury Delegation Order Number 92, the IRS is trained under the direction of the Division of Human Resources of the United Nations, and the Commissioner, which is international, by the Office of Personnel Management. You'll also see that in 1979 edition of the U.S. Code, Title 22, United Nations, you'll find Executive Order 10422, the Office of Personnel Management is under the direction of the Secretary of the United Nations. You also learn that pursuant to Treasury Delegation Order Number 91, the IRS entered into a service agreement with the U.S. Treasury Department. That's Public Law 94564, Legislative History, page 5967. Reorganization Plan, which is bankruptcy, Reorganization Plan 26, the Agency for International Development. This agency is an international paramilitary operation, and according to the Department of the Field Army Manual, dated 1969, 4110, pages 1 through 4, section 1 through 7, and section 1 through 6, and section 1 through 10. And then you go to 22 U.S. Code, section 284, includes activities as assumption of full or partial executive, legislative, and judicial authority over a country or area. There's more to this, and yet you go to the Internal Revenue Service Handbook for Special Agents, and right on the front it says, signed by Mr. Mortimer Kaplan at the time, Internal Revenue Service Commissioner, agents, he says, our tax system is based on individual self-assessment and voluntary compliance. The material contained in this handbook is confidential in character. It must not, under any circumstance, be made available to persons outside the service.
Well, Chris, what are you doing with a copy of that?
Well, good question.
It just goes on and on, doesn't it?
It does, and you're making a stand, and so you have to have your friends with you and acquaintance with you and the listeners with you that hear this today in the courthouse.
Well, now, so we'll look forward to people being there. Now, my website is warddeanmd.com. That's WARDDEANMD.com. And just click on the IRS update page, and you can go straight to the court docket and find out all the information about this case.
And he's a partner site on our website, so you can go to our website, and you can find Dr. Ward Dean there right on the front page. And this is very, very vital because we need Dr. Dean in the future here, and we'll disclose that in the future. But certainly this is very, very paramount. Now, where do we find you at the courthouse once again so the people know?
Okay, this will be Monday, the 3rd of October. That's next Monday at 10 a.m. in courtroom 4 South. And the federal courthouse in Pensacola, Florida is at the corner of Palafox and Garden Street. And so I'd like to see a lot of the listeners of 103.7 and fans of RBNLive.com appearing there. And we can all get together a little bit after that and find out how many listeners we've got in town.
Now, that's Palafox and what?
And Garden Street.
Garden Street. All right. Let's hope this happens, listeners. Hope you go support Dr. Dean on Monday because he needs your support. His fight is our fight. That's the way I look at it.
Like to also say that there is another trial that's going on right now, and I'm really surprised that it's getting very little publicity, and this is the trial of Irwin Schiff out in Las Vegas. Irwin, of course, is the author of The Federal Mafia and a number of other books on the income tax, and he's been on trial now. The third week has just wrapped up, and Irwin is just warming up. There's probably about another 2 weeks to go, so if any of the listeners are out there in Las Vegas, I think that this believe that Irwin's trial is really the trial of the century.
Okay, and how do they learn more about that?
Well, that would be at the federal courthouse in Las Vegas.
Uh-huh.
Irwin's website, for those that don't know, is paynoincometax.com. That's paynoincometax.com.
Okay. Very good.
Okay, well, thanks a lot, Chris, and I'll be getting back with you and hopefully with some good news about this.
Wonderful, Dr. Dean. I look forward to it.
Uh-huh.
Thank
right.
you. Very, very important to support these directions, listeners. And take notes. Take notes if you show up, and do show up. Very, very vital at this point in time to support his fight against the IRS, the revenuers, the progressive income tax brought into place as the inception of the Federal Reserve System brought into place itself back in 1913. And then after that, the progressive income tax. And here is one of the planks of the Communist Manifesto. John in Michigan. Let's take John in Michigan. Welcome to the show, John. Hello, John.
Hello.
Okay, here we are. Hello, John.
Yes, Chris, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Okay, I'm going back just a couple of calls where you were talking about Agenda 21.
Yes.
If someone were just to type in that on a search engine, they'd just be overwhelmed with how massive it is and how much of it covers the world everywhere.
Well, good for you for punching it in.
Oh, I've been following this since they signed it in 92 or wherever.
That's right.
Exposing it since then. We beat the Wetlands Act up here that they were trying to put in, the first one as far as the county goes in the country, by using trailing it back to the UN, coming in with facilitators to promote it.
There you go.
So it's you can beat them. One other thing, you were talking about these fires. Dr. Len Horowitz put a book out called Death in the Air in 2001, and he talked about a Navy program out, I think it's in Idaho. Idaho.
Uh-huh.
High up in the mountains, where they have a triangular type of generating system set up around a lake that has one of the top Nazis in the country living on, in fact. But so that's not the point. But they were it was for using lightning strikes to set fires. And what happens when these fires go through is when the people go back to reclaim their land, then all of these rules come into play. So they're not going to be in control of their property like they used to, because they're starting from scratch again. And so that is probably one of the reasons why the UN is watching it so much, because they know that these are, it's possible for the these things to be started without having any the Navy using it or some other person using it to create this movement of people off the land.
Now, John is not being conspiratorial, listeners. He's not being conspiratorial. This is the way it is, isn't it, John?
Yes, sir. They're out there doing their mischief.
And you've seen the map. You know the cordoned off areas, no human use areas. You've seen the map, so you understand what's being engineered here with all these weather anomalies, aren't you?
Amen. Yes, and still God is in control, folks, so don't be afraid to stand up and speak the truth and expose it, because it's with him on your side, you're saved already. So,
well, it's just so vital at this point in time to use situations and blame it on God when they can be created. It just doesn't make any sense.
No.
And it was disclosed yesterday by one of the listeners. He was watching the news feed on the fires in California, and some fire official was being interviewed as saying, well, we get it under control, and then all of a sudden it starts up again.
You know, that's amazing, isn't it?
It is.
And they're evacuating people, and also the homes that they want eliminated are the ones that are usually being targeted. And during Clinton's administration, they didn't even attempt to put out the fires. They were not allowed to. So.
Yes, I remember that.
So this goes back further than just recent with these weather anomalies and these fires. And looking at, if you go to Glenn Horowitz's Death in the Air book, and he'll send it free to any library, any legislator. He has a lot of information with what's happening now as far as genocide, vaccinations, the secret codes, the Illuminati, the pharmaceutical industry, and these special weapons that are being developed by the Navy. So it's a good book.
Well, well stated, John.
Thank you very much, Chris, and God bless you.
Thank you. I appreciate your information and your concern. I'm concerned for the human race. I'm concerned for all of us. We're supposedly outlived or outproduced the capacity of the planet, which is the thought patterns of George Soros and Mikhail Gorbachev, Ted Turner. It goes on. These Bill and Melinda Gates are part of this, listeners. This population reduction agenda is well engineered. It's going on. We aren't seeing it. It's not being promoted. Well, naturally, it's not being promoted. And yet, weather modification, when hurricanes can be steered, and that's why Jim McCanney was discussing how he worked with the Russians to bring this about, to steer hurricanes away from harm's way. So if they can be steered away from harm's way, why were they steered into the southern, quote-unquote, region of our country? There you have the dilemma that we're living with today. These set up scenarios that bring us to having to move to certain locations, relocation of population, major direction happening after Katrina, major relocation of populations. Where did they all go? 1 million people have been relocated, according to the news, from Katrina. And as a total in Hurricane Rita, the total was 2.3 million people have been evacuated. Well, many of them have gone back to Texas, and everybody that left Texas didn't have to leave. They didn't have to evacuate. But the propaganda machine dictated that they do it. So there you have it, listeners. And so we see, let's take John in Pensacola before we go on. Hello, John. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Chris. Thanks for getting me on.
Yes, sir.
Yes, as you mentioned, I'm in Pensacola, and I do want to thank all those people who make the programming on FM 103.7 possible. I've been riding along for a while here, and it's really great programming. And
right.
That's really why I called, because I wanted to say something about your program. I've enjoyed all that you've been doing in trying to bring the UN agenda and such things to the public's awareness here. It's great, and I've got to tell you, I mean, I've just been bowled over to hear the caliber of some of your callers, and I recognize some of them, like Dr. Ward Dean. I've been following along with that man's problems for a while, as well as Eric. I recognize Eric, and I know the troubles that he's been in, and both of these men, need their support. So I got my op orders for Monday morning.
Oh, good.
Hopefully, you know, God willing, I'll be breathing and down there and making notes to educate myself and pass it on to other people. But, you know, I must say, people like Eric, articulate, intelligent, a thinking man, able to express an awful lot to us out here who are tuning in and listening and have the ability to really pay attention, you know, to all that's being said. If I may, I believe his family name is Shime or Shine, something like that, and he's, you know, been a guest and interviewed on other people's programmings.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I think people might know his case as well as I and such. But you're doing a great job and such. And, you know, keep up the good works. And I just want to say something like, you know, like Jeff talks about gun ownership. Well, I wish I lived in a nation where by law it mandated each of us own for, at a minimum, 4 assault rifles of whatever type and caliber we preferred instead of what we're living under with the National Firearms Act and the Gun Control Act of 1968 and add on all the other bills like the Clinton bill and the Bush, Papa Bush bill, et cetera, that
yes.
have curtailed our Second Amendment. And, you know.
Wouldn't it be nice to have a government that mandated we protect ourselves?
You bet. You know, whatever you want, a Kalashnikov, AR-15, M-16 type, you know, by law, 4 of them in your, you know, closet or your safe, you know.
Yes.
And then you get a citation and dragged into court if you don't have them and don't have the ammo. You know.
There you go.
Yeah.
That is a safe society.
Yeah.
A society that does not know who is armed is a safe society. If they make it mandatory you be armed, that's even better.
Hey, listen, I got something that's been popped up in my head for a couple of years.
Uh-huh.
Okay. About a decade ago or better, when I was back up towards Fayetteville, North Carolina, where I served with the 82nd Airborne at Fort Bragg, I began seeing signs on the interstates in a large triangle area going out as far as Raleigh and such. It read, entering a global transpark zone. And I've put this to various people, including Colonel Bo Greitz, including some of the other people on you know, talk radio like Alex Jones. Nobody's ever heard this term, and being as you're up on stuff with the UN, is that a term that you might have ever encountered?
Now run that by me again.
The expression is global transpark zone.
No, I'm not familiar with it.
I haven't been up that way in about 6 years, so I don't know if they're still there, but back in 93-94 time frame, I was regularly in and out of the Carolinas and points north, and I would see on the side of Interstate 95, large signs saying, you are now entering a global transpark zone.
I'm writing it down to do a search on it.
Yeah.
Because, no, I'm not familiar with it, and that's very, very interesting to have you disclose this.
I mean, it may be something under Agenda 21, as you're aware of, you know,
yes.
trying to rewild everything.
Yeah, the Agenda 21 and the Biodiversity Treaty worked hand-in-hand in 1992. It's in place right now. The Global Biodiversity Assessment is there on our website, and certainly the map is there.
I mean, it sounds really odd because it's not saying like you're entering an industrial zone or anything like that, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's very concerning.
Well, I'm glad I could bring this to your attention. I'd sure like to know, but I really don't know how to go about, you know, investigating such stuff, and I don't have computer access. And
well, I'll try to work on that.
Okay, thanks, Chris.
Thank you, John.
I've got a few other people. Have a good weekend. Hope to hear you on Monday.
Thank you, my friend.
Bye.
Thank you, John. And we'll keep in mind Monday, 11-9-20, WWRB, 11-9-20, new frequency for shortwave. It was a financial decision by the network, and it has to be done. And so I understand that. I do understand it, and you should too, listeners. As someone out there has the revenue to have made it happen but didn't, and I'm certainly not talking about someone in particular, I'm talking about someone else that I don't even know, that I know can do it or could help. There's certainly people that have helped me in the past and helped the network in the past, and I'm not singling them out, not at all. There's other people out there that could have helped with the financial directions of RBN. So we moved to 11-9-20 on Monday. Your support to the network is vital. Vital, people. The archives are for free. The Republic Trading Post is there for you. A Republic Trading is for you. And Republic Trading is 800-691-7898. The office is 800-724-2719. RBNLive.com is there for free. This is the only opportunity that we have in working with a network to restore a constitutional republic and increase our numbers. Dr. Wardeen needs your support in Pensacola, Florida. Palifax and Garden Street, the federal building, Palifax and Garden Street on Monday. 10 a.m. is the time for his court date. Be there, listeners. And we'll wrap up the show with Mike in Kentucky. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Broadcast listeners, here we see Typhoon Damri and floods kill 74 in Asia. Out of Reuters, the death toll from flash floods spawned by Typhoon Damri more than doubled on Wednesday as the hardest hit Vietnam, there it is, hardest hit in Vietnam. Is weather manipulation part of this? I don't know, but it's highly suspicious. Whenever any of this happens, people, this is the problem. This is the big problem, people. And then we see an army of more than 3,000 firefighters battle a wildfire and bore down on more than a dozen communities in Ventura and Los Angeles counties. My gosh, people, that is a lot of miles. I'm very, very familiar with Southern California, having been there all my life until 2001. I know how large this fire is. And once again, was it created to bring about a result of moving populations? That is the question we should all ask. I'm sorry to say. Very sorry to say. Let's bring Mike up. Mike from Kentucky. Hello, Mike.
The Google cache, if you know what I'm talking about, the saved copy of the webpage for paynoincometax.com is still functioning. And, of course, you can right-click on that and get the properties from any of the links. If you know how to do that and cut and paste them in and still view some of the stuff, but it looks like there's been some sort of a court order to shut down Irwin Schiff and his efforts, and of course it sounds completely un-American, but it's happened many times in the past where people's positions are being censored by the this Judge George or other judges. He's issued a 35-page order to censor Irwin Schiff from publishing any of his books, and it looks like they've taken down the webpage because of that as well, because he was selling the books on there. But this hate speech stuff is the same in the same grain. They're trying to shut people down. I mean, I have a local access cable show, and people, you know, if I try to report on what's going on around the border, I've gotten nasty faxes about how I'm a racist because I'm reporting on how these racists are wanting to take over the country and are promoting the plan of San Diego from the first part of this century, where basically they wanted to kill all white people above the age of 16. I mean, so if I, you know, even covering that on the news makes you a racist, even though you're covering what other racists are trying to do. I mean, it's just ridiculous. People's mentality in the general public has been so programmed and brainwashed that it's just like pulling teeth to get them to wake up, or I don't know what analogy to use, but some people are their own worst enemy.
Well, Mike, I appreciate your efforts, and you're right on with where you're going with all this.
Well, thanks for your efforts, too. And WWRB is not that bad. I've listened to them, and they just have maybe a different propagation pattern than other stations. And if you really want to pick them up, you can. So you guys will probably be all right and maybe have a little different audience. But I think if people want to pick you up, they will be able to.
Well, that's good to hear.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate your thoughts and direction. That's WWRB 11920 on Monday. And sorry to leave WWCR, but that's not my call, and it's not my responsibility, as that's just the way I am with what I have to do, listeners. I can't educate the public and pay to do it. But God bless the Republic Broadcasting Network. And hopefully, God willing, we'll be back Monday. You'll hear us all. You'll all hear us, and we'll continue then on Monday. God bless you all, listeners. Good afternoon.